live from KFNX News Talk Radio 1100. It's Chatterbox, where you'll find the latest news, interviews, and updates about the gaming world. The views and opinions expressed are those of the host, the guests, and callers only, and not necessarily those of KFNX News Talk Radio 1100. And now here's your hosts for Chatterbox.
Like, you talk about, yeah, you know, this is for all the girls who said my dick was small or something. Like, yeah. Is there some area of life that was particularly frustrating and that bleeds into...
Take a f***ing guess, dude. I can answer it. I'll put my spin on it. I think I do what I do because I grew up fat. Ooh, the room came down. Don't get all serious on me. It's f***ing true. We don't have to, you know, it's not like a life-threatening affliction. It is, but it's not. I think because I grew up a heavy kid, it tended to make me want to be funny. Because, you know, if you can't get over with your looks, like, you don't know what I'm talking about. You're a good-looking man.
That's the first time I've ever heard that.
Really?
Yeah.
What are you doing after the show?
There you have it, everybody. Sage wisdom from our friend Kevin Smith, director of all those Silent Bob movies we know and love.
Apparently Kevin's very nearsighted. I had no idea.
Yeah, he didn't have a very good view of me from the podium. So my name's Alon.
And I am Nate.
That's Nate, my co-host. We're going to do a wonderful show for you today, Chatterbox Video Game Radio. We're on every week. I think we might
every
even
Every Sundays.
Some new
Times
listeners.
Bounce around, but every Sunday.
What are you telling me?
Times bounce around, but every Sunday.
Yeah. Actually, we're on at 8 p.m. locally right now. A lot of you are listening outside of our time zone. Next week, we're going to be on an hour later. And we've been jumping around lately, trying to figure out where to stick us.
Yep.
And hopefully
next week that time will stick.
I think we've found permanent footing in the 9 o'clock slot. Not so good for our European live
not
listeners.
Not so good.
But, you know, all right for everybody here.
Good for our, you know, Japanese listeners, who apparently it's sometime at noon on Monday.
She moved to England, don't you know? Aren't you paying attention?
Oh, that's right. Well, I was actually talking about our guest. This week.
She's going to be very upset when she realized she wasn't listening live and now we're talking about her.
Yeah.
Pretty soon, though, we'll be able to take Skype calls. And.
We'll be good.
I keep saying that and just not doing it.
Yeah.
All right, so let's jump into the show. Today, we're going to have Cheapy D, founder, owner, director, whatever, of CheapAssGamer.com. If you're not familiar with that, you might want to go there before the interview starts. I'm not really sure how to describe the site. I'm going to let him do it.
I guess it's form-based.
Lots of forum stuff.
Yeah.
Basically, news on how to get your gaming fix on the cheap.
Yes.
So he'll be on the show helping us, you know, to do the show.
Oh, of course.
And we've got some topics that might be near and dear to his heart today.
Yep.
So anyway, we'll bring him on second segment. And in the third segment, if you want to give him a call, you can call us.
Call us.
You know, call us. Talk to us. Talk to him. Bring whatever questions to the forefront you need to. It's 866-536-1100. 866-536-1100. Now... we're going to jump right into some topics, one of which I discovered last night while watching the Discovery Channel. Funny how that is.
Oh, Discovery Channel, very good.
Yeah. Nate loves it.
Love that channel.
All right.
Right there with the Discovery Health, with the Trauma Center.
Don't
good
you just
show.
Watch Lifetime all the time?
All the time.
Yeah. Okay, so here's what happened. I was watching, I don't even remember what the program was about, something very off topic for the show at hand.
Yeah.
It discussed this psychological study on group dynamics, and I thought the results might apply here to the video game industry and geeks in general, actually.
All right.
So here's what happened. They this looked like it was from the 70s, maybe. It was hard to tell. It wasn't very recent. So anyway, a bunch of people in a room doing the psychological test with, you know, your guy in a white suit conducting the test up front. Now, normally when they do these tests, everybody's segregated, but the point of this was to find out the response of one particular person. There was one guy actually being tested in the room. Everybody else was an actor. So they would give a very simple and obvious question, a logic question, and people would just vocally give their response. A, B, or C choices, right? One of them wrong, obviously wrong,
yeah.
Another one obviously right, and then another in the middle. And so these actors would all choose the obviously wrong answer. And the one guy who they're really looking at but doesn't know it, he gives the right answer, at mm-hmm. least the first time.
Yep.
And then they ask, you know, a very similar question with very similar response possibilities. And after a while, he starts questioning himself and he gets coaxed into, you know, giving the same answer that everybody else does. So basically, he's following the crowd. And this apparently is a common tendency in the human beings.
Really?
That's us. So I wondered, how does this relate to gamers the gaming industry, and specifically geeks, because I feel like if I were in that room, and Nate told me that he felt the same way.
For the most part, I'll let you say what you would do first,
yeah,
and then I'll go on to what I
basically would just always give the right answer. I'd be like, screw you guys, I'm going home.
Yeah.
You're all wrong. I don't know why you're... In fact, I would just start thinking that they were all working against me and studying me. You know, I would have figured out,
yeah,
the double blind test, or, well, it's not double blind, but the
blind tester.
And, you know, gotten a little suspicious. But if I didn't get suspicious, I still would give the right answer. And you?
I would have do that, of course. But then I think eventually I would have been, just to, like, let's move on. I'd be like, fine, it's that one. It's obviously the wrong one. Apparently I don't know what I'm talking about. So let's just do it and end the test.
So you just try to throw it in their faces.
Yeah. I'd be like, fine, you guys are right. Whatever. Let's just move on.
All right. So, like I said, this question, I think, relates to the video game industry. Following the crowd, doing what everybody else is doing, and, you know, innovation is, we've mentioned that word a million times on the show.
Oh, all the time.
Right? Where is gaming going? And the big concern from everybody is that innovation isn't happening anymore. It's being stifled. That's
yep.
the buzzword. You stifle innovation.
And something close to what I'd like to talk about later in the show.
Yeah.
With the reselling of games. Apparently that's stifling innovation.
That was a topic in the news this past week. And so I'm just like, I know that the game players, they claim they would do the right thing. At least I do. And I think the people listening might feel the same way. I'm curious how Andrew feels about this. Do you want to get on the air, Andrew? Andrew, our sound guy? No comment.
No comment.
I'm very, very busy doing important work here.
He's very busy. Listeners,
putting this jewel case back together.
Exactly. He was putting a jewel case together. I could see that from behind the glass. Very busy man.
Very busy.
So, what's happening to the video game industry? We're not really moving forward. We're following the crowd. A lot of people produce crappy game after crappy game. And the ones who don't are the ones who are willing to break the mold, the ones who are willing to be scrutinized. And people say, well, you know what? You know, your game is either crappy or just wonderful. Right? The ones who are willing to separate themselves and take possibly that extra attention.
I think it's a little more than that, though.
What do you mean?
Well, I mean, as we talked about a couple of shows ago, big companies don't really innovate. But then they're at the mercy of the stockholders, you know, who don't, well, no, we don't know if that game's going to do well, but we do know if, you know, Action Game 4, that'll sell X many copies, so let's make Action Game 4 instead of, you know, this other kind of cool, nice, cool idea, but not untested. You
We've
know.
Got Nada 3.
That's right.
Yeah, but, I mean, my point is exactly that these companies who have a lot of experience, they know better. They know what the right thing to do is, yet they continue to make the wrong decision because of group dynamics.
Well, but I think innovation will always come from the independent developers who, you know, they'll be more willing, you know, maybe, you know, like what you're saying, they'll be more willing to say, you know, F you, you know, I'm going to make a game like I want to.
And they risk becoming the geeks of the industry.
That's true.
This is my concern.
Yeah.
And what I think is great is that on occasion, you know, they become the standout winners. Like, I mean, I hate to credit a company with an innovative idea because, like, you know, it wasn't
the company's idea. It was a person's idea.
It wasn't Namco that came up with Katamari Damacy, right?
No.
It was the guy.
The guy
that made it. Yeah. I really should know these people's names.
All I know is that when he gave a conference at the GDC or lecture, he likes to draw. He had a tablet PC and he liked to draw. Like, he'd have you'd see his desktop. And then you run a video, and then he would draw on top of the video
just
while it was running.
Yeah. You know, you can sort of do that with Firefox.
Yeah.
Draw on the screen.
Draw on the screen, yeah. I just thought it was funny that he would do that, you know, because obviously he'd wanted people to watch it. Yet he was drawing a little guy, walking a dog.
Well, did you notice the difference about him? He wasn't worried about sort of making a fool out of himself.
No, he wasn't.
Like, I can get up in front of a crowd, do my little game show bit.
That's right.
Whatever. And, you know, take the heat.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He is the geek.
He
out and did something innovative. And so that's what we need. We need more
geeks.
As if
geeks
we didn't have enough geeks
in the industry.
We need people willing to be that geek. And then maybe you go over to the bigger companies. Those are the ones maybe doing sports or doing, you know, the same franchise over and over and over.
Yeah.
You see places like Ubisoft releasing Splinter Cell after Splinter Cell, which it really is a great game, and I like all the
It's
new
a
ones.
Good game, yeah.
But, like, would you look at those guys and say, wow, you programmers, you guys are the geeks. Or, like, they're the superstars.
Yeah.
But really, I respect the Katamari guy. You know, I respect the guy who puts together this cutesy game that might not have as many sales, but does something really great. Yeah. When, if you get them all in a crowd, the ones partying, the ones getting the ladies.
Yeah, they're the ones coming out with, you know, not a three.
Yeah.
But,
I just thought it was an interesting topic to discuss here. Maybe we'll have some callers want to call in and talk about that. But don't forget, we're going to have CheapyD on the air.
And, also, I believe you wanted me to mention this. Good questions will get a prize.
It's quite
of some
possible.
Sort. Quite possible.
Well, I'm thinking, Andrew, do we have extra listeners today compared to the previous shows? About 10 more. All right, you want to pretend like it's
well, 10 more. That's like you know, in the thousands
share.
We have here, it's like a small fraction.
It's like a 10 share, right? Put it that way.
And we sound, it's like 10 drops in a large bucket.
Yes, we sound very large.
That's right.
Okay, so
large.
Anyway, we have some listeners from Cheap Ass Gamer.
Yep.
Who are directed here from there, and maybe they're interested in that sort of thing.
Maybe they are.
So if you give me a question that makes me go, then maybe we'll have some free prizes for you. Now, our listeners who listen often would probably recognize that prize. We've given it away before, but modkits, xgbox.com, you can see what we're giving away.
Yeah.
I've got a few left. We actually have a caller here who's been waiting, wanted to talk about a topic from last week.
Really?
We've got such a busy show, I don't know if I'll be able to get to him, but, you know, John from Nevada,
Sam,
bring you on, maybe talk to CheapyD later. So that's about it. We're going to talk about Nate's topic.
Yep, coming up next.
When CheapyD comes on, he's going to help us sift through the retail nightmare.
That's right.
Which is developers hassling you for doing what you're supposed to do.
Yeah.
Make money.
They don't want you reselling those games because then they're not getting the secondary profits.
They get very upset.
Yeah.
All right. If you want to talk to us, call in third segment, 866-536-1100. Don't forget to visit chatterboxgameshow.com. We'll be back right after these messages. Welcome back, everybody, to the Chatterbox Video Game Radio Show with Alana and Nate.
Hey, I am here.
Nate never knows when to jump
I never.
There.
Well, I never know if you're going to hand it over to me to say my own name or if
you
you're going to
say... You guys can't see it. You can't see it, but I give him the look.
Yeah.
Nate, it's your turn.
And I'm usually looking at my laptop. So, hey, everybody,
now
I'm here.
We might have a few listeners who've been with us since the beginning. They might realize that today is actually the very first show of year 3.
Yeah.
That's how long we've been around. This is show 105. Now, 2 years ago, January 17th, Friday night at 9 p.m., we started this wonderful little program. I was horrible, as was my co-host and producer, but we have improved. We've gotten better. We're big and professional now in the studio. Got our own sound guy, phone lines, guests.
Oh, everything.
It is fantastic. Now, we've also had a certain sponsor with us this whole time from the beginning, UAT.
UAT.
I want you, if you're interested in learning about how to get into the video game industry on the development side of things, go to uat.edu. You can learn about the programming, the art. Nate
oh,
does
all that
it.
Stuff. I go there. Alon graduated
he
from
loves it.
That university.
That's right. It's been wonderful for us.
Oh, yes.
And without them, this show probably wouldn't exist.
Would not.
All right, so we're going to bring on our guest of the day, CheapyD from Cheap Ass Gamer. Are you there with us?
Yes, I am. How you doing, guys?
I am wonderful. Andrew, what can we do about making him louder? All right, try
Make
again.
Me louder.
All right, I'm just going to ask you to shout. Maybe it's because you're in Japan.
That might be it. You're pretty far away.
A long way. I'll talk extra loud.
Awesome.
That's great.
You are quite far away. I don't know if everybody realizes this, but CheapyD runs the show all the way from the J-Pan. And we're happy to have him here with us. What time is it over there?
It's about 12:20 in the afternoon on Monday.
So how is the future?
Yeah.
The future is awesome. I'm sorry to say you guys did not win the lottery.
Ah.
That's good to know. I won't stay up.
Have to throw away those tickets now.
Right. Don't waste your dollar.
Yeah. So I wanted to start off basically bring you into our discussion. Because what we do on this show, I was afraid that if we had a guest on for half the show, our new listeners wouldn't get a feel for what the show is about. So Nate wanted to talk about something.
I had something. I read something this week. Apparently some bigger companies are... saying that the secondhand selling of games is stifling their innovation.
Do we have names of any of these companies? Can we drop names?
I have a lady from Sony, or a spokesperson from Sony.
Okay.
That this is the quote I kind of want to open up. So the spokesperson from Sony said, if reselling continues to grow, it could potentially starve of funds necessary for research and development. And therefore, developers will be less willing to take risks on new and genre-diversing titles. If this creativity diversity that makes the game industry so popular, and without sustaining funding from new software sales, this could be at risk. And in other news, the U.S. Game industry hit a new record of $10.5 billion in sales this year.
Yeah, do you keep up with the news, Chiefy?
Yes, I read that article as well.
All right, and so
and
you
boy,
also...
there's so much creativity and diversity right now, right? I mean...
Yeah, I don't really see their point.
You guys were talking about the sequels, you know, and how there's just so many sequels, and I don't think it's really fair to blame that on the used game market. I mean, just from a business standpoint, it makes sense for these companies to produce another sequel instead of a fresh property because they've already invested the money in marketing the previous games. So the customers already know about the games. And, you know, of course, they've already developed the game engines as well. I don't really know if that has a lot to do with the used game market.
You know, maybe if their pricing structure were different. I just read that EA is dropping their prices for the current-gen titles, right?
Oh, yeah, I heard about that.
And so maybe if they had a staggered pricing release. Remember how I was talking about how they should release the 360 or whatever future systems? They should give a month of just really inflated prices
to
avoid the eBay situation, right? Maybe they could do that with games. Not inflate the price, but just drop it faster.
Drop it slower.
Have staged price drops.
Well, I mean, they do that for some point. But I'm sorry, I didn't want to step on you.
That's okay. I was thinking that it may help, you know, there's so many games that get released these days, and almost all of them get released at $50, or, you know, obviously $60 for the Xbox 360 games. But eventually what happens is, you know, when the games don't sell, then the publishers, you know, cut the prices, you know, they'll drop it, you know, $10 at a time or so. But maybe it would make more sense for these companies, instead of doing that, why don't you release the games at a lower price point to begin with? If you're not exactly confident that your game really is really worth $50. You know, how many games do you guys buy that you see on the shelf and you say, man, that game's really worth $50? Very few.
Well, exactly. And on the same token, those really popular games are the ones that would sell used at a really high price, like $40. So if the companies did have a really popular game, already made tons of money in the first couple of months, they could afford to do the price staggering, I think. Maybe I'm just trying to push my own theory.
Anyway.
What was that?
Chances are it's probably a sequel anyway.
Yeah, you're right about that. It's a good chance. Now, how is Japan affected by the used game market?
You know, Japan, it seems, I'm not 100% sure on this, but it seems like right now Japan is really getting into the used game market. I remember reading, you know, a few years ago that there maybe wasn't a used game market, or there was a question about how legal it was. But now every store you go into, every, you know, video game store or video store, they really advertise the fact that they'll buy your used games and that they sell used games.
See, now I had heard the same thing. That used games are illegal in Japan, but of course I had friends over there buying them by the truckload and bringing me copies of games.
It's definitely not illegal, because even major retailers, like the equivalent of Blockbuster Video here, I forgot the name already, and I'll probably butcher it anyway, but they sell used video games, so I'm sure it's not illegal.
Well, I'm not sure. Once you buy it, I mean, don't you own that? You know,
oh
disc?
Man, it's an intellectual
isn't
property.
Isn't that yours? But what? Don't you give up that right once you sell it?
Oh, see,
it's not yours anymore. It's
logic,
the person who bought it.
Logic in the capitalist environment really only exists in the U.S. And even then, you lose it sometimes. When you step into another country, all sorts of rules and freedoms are lost. So you never know what happens in Japan. I'm not trying to pick on Japan per se, but I don't know. Any thoughts?
I think they just figured out. Or they're figuring out that, you know, this is where the margins are. This is where the profits are. You can make a lot more money selling used games than you can selling new games.
Yeah, I would think that
math.
If if any country placed a law or any organization made a very specific rule like the companies are talking about doing, where they like they start charging the retailers for the used games, you know, going to the producers or whatever, I bet that might hit in Japan before it hit here. They're more accepting of catering to the large, like to the needs of the unit of the country, right, rather than the consumer.
Yeah.
Well, one thing I've noticed, and maybe this is just because I haven't looked hard enough, but I'm pretty sure they don't rent video games here.
Yeah, maybe that's what I was thinking. That's totally illegal. But that's along the same lines as used stuff.
Maybe. Yeah.
I don't know.
I'm not quite sure.
Used stuff is everywhere now. Now it's like, you know, everywhere you look, you see used video games. But rentals, I've yet to see a rental, even at the big chains.
Yeah, one thing I know is that I certainly don't know much about Japan. Never actually been there. You, on the other hand, you actually moved there quite recently, am I right?
That's right. We moved here in November, Mrs. Cheapy and I.
All right, now, we only have a minute or so, but we're going to lead into some questions more specifically related to you next segment. Give me a little feel for why you made that trip. What was the inspiration?
Well, my wife got a great job, basically an offer that we couldn't refuse. You know, when a big company wants to move you to another country, they pick up a lot of the expenses of that move. So basically, we got to move from like a pretty crappy apartment in New York City to a brand new, you know, high-rise building in Tokyo. So it was basically an offer we couldn't refuse. And she's Japanese, so
that is fantastic. Does she have any sisters?
No.
Alan is looking for his own special lady somewhere.
I have a recommendation from Kevin Smith himself that I'm an attractive young man. All right,
very far-sighted, that guy.
Yeah. We are nearsighted.
Nearsighted, I should say.
We're going to go to break now. We'll be back after this. Questions can come to CPD. Once again, this is our third segment for January 22nd. First show of year three.
Of the new year.
Celebrated our second year anniversary this week.
Yep.
Truth be told, I mean, we didn't actually celebrate. It just happened.
It just happened.
Yeah. Nate's not a big celebrator.
Not really.
Especially anniversaries.
Not too much.
No. Anyway, we're back. Chatterbox with Alan and Nate. We also have Cheapy D on the line, and we even have a spot open on the phones. If you want to talk to him, go to chatterboxgameshow.com if you don't remember the number. But I'll tell you now. It's 866-536-1100, and that's good for anybody in North America, I think. I don't know if it hits Mexico.
Yeah,
but Canada,
sure.
And the U.S.
Maybe parts of Mexico.
Yeah, like the Baja.
Yeah.
I don't know. Anyway, give it a shot, 866-536-1100. Cheapy, you're still there, right?
Yep, still here.
Excellent, we've got you. So, now we were just talking about how you moved to Japan, and now I was sort of hoping that you could tell me this fantastic, wonderful story about how you created this website, this seed, and it just grew into a magnificent, self-fulfilling, profiteering venture, and you were just able to move to Japan and live off of Cheap Ass Gamer. Can you tell me about that?
Absolutely. When I was working my 9-to-5 job, I had a friend of mine who was kept sending me these deals from a website called bensbargains.net, which is like a general deals website. You know, they'll tell you, you know, Staples is selling a 120 gig hard drive and it's really cheap. So I basically got addicted to checking out that website. And, you know, while I wasn't that interested in like the hard drives and blenders and stuff like that, you know, every once in a while they would have a video game deal. And then I'm like, man, I should be looking for video game deals. So I would just go to the different video game retailer websites and I would just, you know, be sorting all their products from lowest price to highest price and seeing, you know, where the good deals were. And then I'm thinking to myself, man, I wish there was a place that did this, but it was just video game deals. So it would just be a whole site of just video game deals, because these other sites, it's all like blended in with everything else. It's just too hard to find. And I always kind of wanted to start my own website just to see if I could. I'm not a very technical person, but I wanted to give it a shot, and basically the rest is history.
And so this is something that conceivably you're raking in the cash from a website.
I'm not exactly raking in the cash, but it's enough to live on, mainly because my wife makes a good living. But you know, it may not be enough to live on by myself if I was living in Tokyo by myself.
Yeah.
Or let's put it this way. I wouldn't be living in the nice apartment that I'm living in now. I'd be living in one of those typical tiny Japanese closets that you hear about.
The little hotels with 5 cubic feet?
It would keep you somewhat comfortable.
Right, capsule hotels.
Yeah, see, I'm not trying to get into your finances here, but one of the points we make on Chatterbox is that we have a lot of listeners, I think, very much like Nate and I, want to get into the video game industry,
yep.
Work for the industry, and make it a part of our lives. And it actually seems that you've made the video game industry work for you, and still I find that fascinating. And so that's one of the things I like to focus on.
Yeah, I got pretty lucky, and it was kind of funny, too, because at my real job, I wasn't really making that much money, and Mrs. Chibi was like, oh, you know, maybe you should get a part-time job somewhere, you know, bring in some more money, take a little pressure off of her. So, you know, and I'm, like, thinking, well, you know, I could go work for, like, EB Games or something, you know, as a, you know, sales clerk, whatever.
Been there, done that, understand.
Right, and I'm like, oh, it's going to be so hard, though, because, you know, I already work a 9-to-5 job, and then what I'm going to do, come home and then go to work on my second job and make, you know, I don't know, like $6 an hour or whatever they pay.
Very little.
Like, it's almost very little. It's, like, almost not worth it. So I was sort of joking with her. I'm like, oh, I'm going to make this website, and it's, you know, it's going to make money, and, you know, I won't really need to get a second job. But the whole time I'm thinking, you know, there's no way that this is really going to happen, but...
It's a way to put off the inevitable, right?
Yeah.
Dare to dream kind of situation.
Yeah.
But, you know, I got lucky in that EGM put a little blurb in their magazine about the website in their website section, and some other magazine, it got into some other gaming magazines, and the word of mouth sort of just took off. And it was sort of a situation where the only way that this was going to make money is if I got a lot of people to come to the site. Because, you know, making commissions off of $10 and $15 video games, you know, they're pretty small commissions. So it's really like a numbers game.
I can understand that. We certainly we enjoy finding new ways to get more listeners to our program.
Oh, yeah.
Now, interestingly, you recently, well, not so recently, started a podcast, a Cheap-Ass Gamer podcast, right?
That's right. We call it CAGcast.
CAGcast. And that actually happened right before you moved to Japan. Now, on the line... Andrew, are you ready here? I want line two. We've got Wombat.
Right.
Wombat, you're here on Chatterbox.
Hey, how's it going, everyone?
Pretty well. You've got your good friend, Cheapy D, on the line if you want to talk to him.
Yes, well, I decided to call up. I heard him, you know, sitting in my little New York apartment, the kind that he was making fun of.
Yep. I can picture
him. And I realized that he needed my help desperately, and I better call in as soon as possible. He's not used to being on the air without me.
Right. This is my co-host for the CAGcast, and he's in New York City, and yeah, we do a little cross-world podcast here.
See, I have a hard time doing this show with Nate across the city. I make him drive across town.
And we did do it one time when I was actually in another state, and it was very difficult.
It was. But you know, we're upgrading the equipment in the home studio. We're going to be able to do it a lot more professionally from now on when we're out of the radio studio, but we enjoy it here at the studio, Andrew. We like it. We don't want to leave you behind. He's giving me
really like these chairs.
Nice. The puppy dog eyes are behind the window. Anyway, Wombat, did you have any closing words for your buddy Cheapy?
I just wanted to say that it's, you know, it's nice to hear him on another show, I guess. And I'm a little disappointed he didn't mention my name at all until you guys patched me in, but I'll get over it.
I'm sure he was saving it for the end, the big finale.
Big finale.
That's probably what it was.
I was just going to say Wombat over and over again for the last 5 minutes.
That's good. It makes me feel a little bit better.
Repetition works. Earlier today on our IRC channel, we had one guy just yell porn 5 times in a row.
That's right.
That would get our attention.
And then you wanted
that
to
was
look
probably
at
me
right
also.
After.
Yeah, quite possibly. All right, we do have some other callers who want to get on the line and talk to Cheapy, so I'm going to let you go, Wombat. Thank you
no
so much
problem.
For calling in. No respect for the sidekick.
None.
Maybe it's not respectful to call him the sidekick. I don't know. Anyway, let's take Dan from New York, another local New Yorker for you guys.
Hello.
Dan, you're on the air.
Oh, no, this is Mrs. Cheapy's sister friend. I want to date Alon.
Oh.
Yeah, next time I come to Phoenix, we go out on hot date.
That's great. would you like to let me eat sushi?
Eat what?
Sushi?
You sick Burn!
Thank you very much for the call, Dan. I appreciate it. Don't really know who Dan was.
I hooked you up already.
I know. You're really helping me out. I was just telling Nate.
He was talking on the break about how he needs to go to Japan to find himself a lady.
Yeah, the tall, white, gangly guys
totally
get the tail in Japan.
They
and
do.
That's what I need to do. I'm actually going to call up GPD and say, hey, man, I need
to
crash.
To
it didn't work.
We'll go out. You come. I'll take you out.
All right. That's it. Nate found a $400 plane ticket to Japan.
Yeah, actually I did. It's cheaper to fly from Phoenix to Japan than Phoenix to where I'm from, which is Minneapolis.
Did I tell you that we had a listener from Canada say, hey, you know what? I'm really close to Nate.
I did hear about that.
I kind of got scared because they didn't really go anywhere with the point. I'm really close to Nate.
Like, I was very scared when
I
heard
I should
about
go
that.
Visit him.
I'm glad I'm back.
With my gun collection. All right, Cheapy, I think we're closing it. We have a couple minutes left, Andrew. He's on the
phone.
He's
on the phone.
Tell me. We got 2 minutes left. All right, so in this time, the talk shows like to give the opportunity for our guests to pimp stuff. Should I let you pimp something?
Have anything to pitch besides your website?
Well, not really. You heard about the CADcast, and you heard about the website. That's pretty much all I got.
All right.
So I guess one thing I want to ask you. So did you pick up one of those cheap Xboxes, or were they really hard to find? Because I know they were pretty scarce out there in Japan.
The 360s?
Yeah.
I actually, you know, they're region-encoded. So if you buy a Japanese Xbox 360, you can only play the Japanese Xbox 360 games. So I actually bought an American Xbox 360 and had my parents send it to me.
See, now, I remember you telling me that story, and I thought to myself, well, why would he do that? Because he's in Japan.
Yeah.
So you plan on importing a lot of games?
Yeah, well, you know, there's different games that come out here and that come out in the U.S. They actually do have import shops here, and they sell American games.
That's so ironic to me.
Wow, that's... Yeah.
The irony of importing games to Japan.
It's pretty weird.
The irony.
There are plenty of Japanese Xbox 360s available. They have not sold out here. People, you know, don't really care about the 360 here, much like the original Xbox, where, you know, you can't even basically find an Xbox section in the store, or if you do, it's just so tiny.
Well, actually, I saw on your site, I was looking through your forums, and you actually had a picture where they had marked it down. And then a 360 kiosk right next to a board game kiosk, which I found very humorous.
Right. That was the Toys R Us picture. Yeah, they didn't even have a regular Xbox section at all.
Yeah. You know, for people interested in learning about Japan, if you want to see the Japanese culture, Cheapy does a really good job in one of the channels on his forum of putting together just quirky Japanese stuff.
I would check out the, what was it, bags that talked about America? Those are very
fantastic.
Funny.
I would frame
right,
that.
That's my Your Man in Japan section.
All right. Listen, thank you very much for joining us on the show today, Cheapy. Everybody should visit Cheap Ass Gamer. I was going to say Chatterbox. CheapAssGamer.com.
They can also visit Chatterbox.
He does. And, of course, they have a podcast, too. We're going to go to break. We're going to be back with a little bit of news, a little bit of Nathan Smart from The Ironic Gamer and from TheGameRag.com.
TheGameRag.com.
We'll be right back. We're back, everybody. This
I thought is the old... show ended there for a second. I was about to leave.
And we were just going to walk out the door. Chatterbox Video Game Radio. This is our last segment of the night. On every week, though.
Yeah.
It's going to be 9 o'clock next week. And what that really means is an hour later to when you're listening right now.
Yes.
Because y'all listen at different times. All right, so before we get in to the rest of the show, I got to remind everybody once again to go to uat.edu. If you want to learn about the games industry, development, you go there. UAT, that's the University of Advancing Technology.
I got the art. Programming.
They can do it all.
I'll do that. So.
Now, uncoordinatingly, I don't know if I'm speaking English today, we're going to segue into a special report from our investigative analyst of addictive and aggressive behavior, Nathan Smart of TheGameRag.com. Nathan, you're on the air.
Thanks, Ron. Fanboyism. What does it mean? Where did it come from? Why is it so negative? Who decided that being a fan of something was wrong? Who decided that being a boy was wrong? I've done a lot of research on this topic, and sure, maybe that research can't be verified. Maybe all the research I've done is just a quick Yahoo search on the subject. Maybe instead of finding information on fanboyism, I played a couple of rounds of a Ghostbusters-themed Bejeweled clone called Bezooled. I still feel safe in saying that being a fanboy isn't as bad as the message boards make it out to be. Let's break down the word fanboyism. First, right off, you've got the word fan. Now, I looked this word up in the dictionary, and it took me on a wild ride to the pages trying to find any sort of word that I could recognize. A fan is a machine for winnowing. To winnow something means to separate the chaff by means of a current of air. Chaff is thin, dry bracts. A bract is a leaf-like plant, usually small, sometimes showy or brightly colored, and located just below a flower stalk, or an inflorescence. I stopped at inflorescence. Let's just act like fan means, oh, I don't know, a cute teenager. Okay. Okay, the next part of fanboyism is a boy. We all know what a boy is, and combined with the first part of fanboyism, we've now figured out the word to mean a cute teenage boy. Simple enough, right? But wait, there's still one part of the word, the ism part. For this part, I went to my trusty Urban Dictionary. According to the UD, ism means game, pimp juice, or the ability to play women. Here, I'll give you an example, and I'll censor myself. This is from the rap group West Side Connection. Dirty women don't believe I spit that ism, till my hoo-ha up in them. So when you take those three parts of the word fanboyism and you put them together, you get some interesting results. A cute teenage boy that can spit some mad game. I don't know about you, but that sounds a lot like my childhood. When I was growing up, I was a very cute teenage boy, and all the dirty women loved me. In fact, they loved me so much, they were blind to the fact that I had game. They didn't believe that I spit that game, spit that ism. That is, of course, until they noticed that I had my hoo-ha up in them.
And Nate, let's cool it down.
Okay.
Can you please get to your point?
Yeah. Just being a fanboy doesn't mean you're gay. I don't care what that stupid John Raider 342 from the board says.
All right. Well, clearly, Nathan Smart has given us a lot to think about today. I appreciate that, Nathan. Thank you very much.
Very, very good. Informative info right there.
And speaking of gay, there was a very queer item in the news this week.
Yeah. Well, reported or misreported, a few days ago, a 21-year-old gamer did not broadcast his suicide via webcam on a forum, not in Bulgaria, but I believe it was about Bulgaria.
No. It was the company is based.
Or the based was in Bulgaria, but the server was in the U.S.
Everything involved with the
everything
actual
in the. It was very hard website. For me to actually pick out the truth of the story.
The website. This is why I referred to it as queer.
Yeah, it was very hard. Apparently, someone did die, which is very sad and unfortunate. But apparently,
although frequent as of late in the
as
news.
As of late, yeah. Apparently, people who play games are just offing themselves right and left.
Yeah.
But. Pretty much he decided to take his own life. Just the way it almost kind of takes it away from him. Obviously it was unfortunate that he died, but really just the bad journalism that they're just pouncing on anything. Apparently they had claimed that the people on the forums were, telling him he should die and like just really ragging on him and stuff like that. Apparently that was not the case. Actually, they tried to help him very much.
Yeah. I don't know if they purposely demonize gamers. Like, you think that you've got your... Who's that guy who owns Fox? Like, Rupert Murdoch or something?
I believe so. I believe
that. You think he, sits in a large throne in a room in the corner of the building and just, taps his fingers and rubs his cat and thinks of how they're going to make...
I don't think it would be a cat. I think it would be, some sort of lizard.
A lizard?
Yes.
Ah, we're in tune. Yeah. Wondering, what can I do to make this story more evil?
Yeah.
So apparently they made out the gamers to be silly young gentlemen.
Yeah.
And gentle ladies, and it turns out really they weren't so bad.
No, actually pretty much everything that they reported was pretty much false, other than the fact that someone did die.
Unless, of course, the report of it being false is also false.
That could be true.
In which case, we just become confused.
That's right. Murdoch, he works in mysterious ways.
All right. I did think that was a valuable point to bring up on today's show. Now, another thing is, last week we had Nathan Smart on, just like this week, discussing...
Yep.
The blind gamer who went to Japan, and I wanted to ask Cheapy about this, but
we forgot about it, as usual.
Just ran out of time.
Yeah.
It was there on my list. I did want to point out, that was a real news story.
Yeah, that did happen.
There was
a blind kid.
According to reports from large news empires, you never know if stuff's
You never
real
know
these
if
days.
That's going to be true or not.
But there was the kid, and Bryce Mellon, I believe, was his name.
Yeah, and he actually could play Mortal Kombat blind and very well.
Blind as a bat, worse than a bat, actually. His eyesight was 100% gone. And apparently good
player.
Well,
maybe not worse than that. Maybe he used Sonic abilities to pinpoint his enemies.
I don't know if that would help him with the photons on the screen, though.
You never know.
The bat radar. Right, I just wanted to let folks know. Real story, not fake news. Really, you know, is a gamer who can apparently kick your ass at Soul Calibur 2.
Yeah.
Anyway, I do want to get to John. John from Vegas has been on the line quite a while, and we'd like to get our callers on the show.
Yes, we would like to.
John, you're on Chatterbox.
Yes, I feel quite special. Actually, another thing in the news that someone got wrong, there was a news article in the Sun Sentinel. I have no clue what city that's from, but it was talking about strings of, you know, violence from people attacking other people with bats, and they were saying these were all GTA-inspired or Postal-inspired, and they ended up, you know, Game Politics actually Googled, like, half of the stuff they linked, and, you know, most of it was in the 70s and the 80s.
I think
was this based on those two kids in Florida who beat up those homeless guys?
I think so.
Yeah.
Oh, all right.
I think that's much clearly a connection to Clockwork Orange.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Than anything.
I mean, that's what I would think. Maybe they're Manhunt fans.
Maybe.
They just think, how can we get Paul Ebert?
Maybe
this
they're a
week?
Fan of the Flash game Beat the Homeless Man with a Bat.
Is that a Flash game? That's nice. all right. Now, John, did you have something else you wanted to talk about too?
You were talking about, like, gold farmers last week, and, you know, this week it was, I think, which gaming magazine actually pulled all of its, PC Gamer pulled all of its gold farming ads.
That's right, yeah, they talked about that in last episode, because it was in there for a couple of weeks, or a couple of, issues of it, and I couldn't understand why they would have it in there, because they always talk about how they're, you know, not that type of you know, people.
I'm right. Just amazed at how apparently we did really talk about MMOs last week.
Okay, and David Sterlin, who I've tried to talk about him before, you can visit his website, sterlin.net, S-I-R-L-I-N, just posted this huge thing about how economies and games are never going to really go away. People are going to make money outside the game, and game developers should embrace that and figure it out a way to, one, make this make more money for them, and two, not have a completely destabilized economy.
Well, Sony did that somewhat with their, I believe they made some sort of an eBay-type system.
Yeah, see, I disagree with them enabling it. I don't disagree, like, morally or by premise. Like, I just think it would end up hurting the game. And so I'm more one to go the legal route and say, well, you know, if they want to enable the economizing of their game, the capitalism, whatever.
Well, again, but if you do that, then you're helping make these, you know, people that somewhat hurt the game, because no one wants to play with
the farmer. Yeah, that's my thing. Like, it would make the game less interesting to me. I'm not going to chastise them for doing it. It's a business decision. Whatever. Yeah. I certainly think making it a function of the game, like Sony did, is just inviting lawsuits. We talked about that last year when they first announced they were going to do it. So that's just silly for them, but I'm certainly not going to yell at them like it should be against the rules or something. But, I mean, certainly you're right, John, that they're not... This isn't going to go away. Anytime there's a chance to make a buck, I'm going to make a buck. Lord knows I would... You know.
Oh, we know how you want to make money.
Oh, I'm ready to just dump every gig I
Alon
have.
Alon would whore
play,
himself out right now if there were some
games.
People outside.
Oh, yeah. For a hamburger.
Only if it was In-N-Out.
Oh, only In-N-Out.
No pun
right.
intended.
All right, anyway, John, thank you for the call. We're at the end of the show, though. We got to let you go. Thank you very much for calling. Remind everybody, show's an hour later from now on.
Yep. We'll be on at 9 o'clock. Mountain local. Time or local time
Mountain
for
time.
Us?
And until we change time again. Everybody else.
Until Arizona time.
Exactly.
Whatever we are.
Anyway, go to chatterboxgameshow.com if you want to learn more about the show, the timing of the show. Go to the forums. Whatever. That's what we do. We'll be back next week. And in fact, in 2 weeks, we're going to have Rebecca Swatter, who writes for Penthouse Magazine.
Yep, gaming. They just had a big... actually, I was amazed. I looked at it today how
a
much...
A big spread.
A big spread on video games in there.
Yeah, like 5 pages.
Yeah.
So anyway, she'll be here joining us in 2 weeks, so hope you guys can join us then. We gotta go. We'll be back next week.
You've been listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. Tune in next week for more tips and info and the latest and greatest in video gaming. And remember, all your base are belong to us.